Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you and your supporting and sharing the podcast. It's getting out there. Praise God. I've got a very special treat for you today. We've got a perspective that we're going to hear about Russia, the condition of the Christian church there, and maybe religion and spirituality in general in Russia. So I'm going to bring in two guests today who are in studio. First of all, you know him, Jay Siegert, the Starting Point Project. Jay, good to have you.
It's always great to be here, and I love your studio.
Oh, it's awesome. Thank you, and welcome. And I'm going to say your name, Pasha Baranov from Calvary Chapel, Vladimir.
That's right.
Yes.
Hello.
In Russia. So, Pastor Pasha, Jay, so good to see you both.
Thank you.
I want to just start out briefly, I want to get your story, Pastor. But first, you have a conference coming up, or not a conference, a Grand Canyon trip for Calvary Chapel pastors?
Yes.
Tell us about that, Jay.
Yeah, we've actually got 7 Grand Canyon tours this year. We did 7 last year. Last year, first ever, we did a tour just for Calvary Chapel pastors, and it was awesome. It went so well. And so we're doing it again this year. I just need a little assistance getting the word out to Calvary Chapel pastors. So it's for Calvary Chapel pastors, their spouses, basically anyone in leadership within the Calvary Chapel churches and their spouses.
Awesome.
And it's just $850 per person, covers everything. They just need to get themselves to Phoenix where it starts.
Okay.
But everything's covered, family-friendly trips, on buses, stay in hotels, eat great food. You get to see their Grand Canyon from the top, from the bottom. We'll raft the river, smooth sailing, get to see dinosaur tracks. We go through Antelope Canyon, Glen Canyon Dam. There's so much packed into that trip. It's a Tuesday through a Friday, so the pastors don't have to be out of the pulpit on the weekends. So if they want more information about our tour, which still has seats available for that particular one, they can go to thestartingpointproject.com. We do have some seats available on other trips for non-pastors or anyone who wants to go on those, but for the pastor's trip, that's in August 4th through the 7th, I believe, but the website will give more information.
Okay, so we'll talk to Jay a few more times between now and August because he's going to be one of the speakers at the Worldview Matters Conference, but I want to give the website thestartingpointproject.com. I love that new video that you have. It's probably new to me and not you, but it looks wonderful. Just very, very well done. Very sharp looking, professional. Good stuff. Thestartingpointproject.com. Okay, so Pastor Pasha, you know I want to get to how are you able to speak freely and share the gospel, the whole counsel of God from Bible prophecy to moral issues in Russia. As a Calvary Chapel pastor, we're going to get to that, but we need to hear your story. You're here visiting Jay. You'll be in the United States for a few weeks. Tell us about your testimony, and obviously you're from Russia. What brought you to the Lord and then to the ministry?
Okay, so the story begins in 1992 for me. This was in May of 92 when Calvary Chapel Downey had sent a team to witness, to share the gospel. So
wow.
The Californians,
yep.
The Los Angeles, people that looked like angels to me, really, because everything was sounding so gloomy, gray, kind of hopeless.
What do you mean? Explain that.
In Russia, back in the day, this was like the Soviet Union was collapsing. All the institutions were being undone, so things were falling apart.
Mm.
So there was not much to look for, and I lost hope and whatever promises the government was giving people or things that the teachers in school were giving us as goals. They were disillusioned themselves. So also my family, they were not holding it together.
Hmm.
My friends, nobody liked to look up to. So it was pretty hopeless for me. So on my way to school, I found a flyer.
I found a flyer
just laying on the ground. And it was a Christian concert in some broken Russian language. It was communicating that there will be a concert. And like, it was a mess of an invitation. But nonetheless, I picked it up and I came to a Christian concert, which I mean, I didn't hear music. I saw the light. I saw people of God and heard the gospel for the first time. Wow. So I turned my heart to the Lord, and since then I started following Him. That's the beginning.
Wow.
So, and the next major point for me to become more serious was baptism. I think I can mix up the sequence a little bit, but there were two very important things. The baptism, when I consciously just followed the Lord's commandments and just wanted to do what's right. Hmm. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. Get wet, get dunked in the water. But it meant a lot to me and my friends were with me. My mom approved of it.
So were you the first in your family to come to the Lord?
Well, it was basically my mom and myself. She was raising me for most of my life. So when I brought home a Bible this big, I said, okay, this is real. This is Christian. So you can go this way. She approved of it, so I was baptized, and I threw my drugs away, stuff that I was messing with. And then there was a big step, big change in my life when I attended the first Creation Conference. So Roger Aukland came over, he did the presentation, and, you know, 10 years of schooling of the atheistic worldview.
Now, this is the government, the education system over there in Russia,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this was, 11 time zones covered by this propaganda. Materialism, atheism, communism, socialism, all of this. Hmm. But when it's all crumbling, I was looking for answers for sure. So, and by God's grace, I was given the true hope. There were all kinds of ideas flowing into the country, Hare Krishnas and all kinds of cultic ideas and charlatans of all sorts. And
okay.
So it is God's grace. So the message is pretty simple. It's the gospel that saves. Jesus is the Savior. So, but then I needed to some foundation to make the steps, because mentally my information, my foundation was all crumbled. I needed something else.
So your foundation, not in Christ, but your worldly foundation.
Yeah, the whole structure, the worldview.
Yeah,
things that I was taught from my childhood. Mm. They first give us fairy tales when you're a really small kid. I was explaining to Jay that this is like a quick change. Kindergarten, fairy tales. And then the next fairy tale is for adults, evolution.
Wow.
And all those millions of years is just a word game, and it messes with people's minds. And it looks like it's global now, Islam and evolution, and different sorts of mixtures.
Deception is rampant. So, Jay, I do want to get to you and how you guys met. But before I do that, what's the difference now with, it sounds like in the 90s, a lot of people were hopeless because the government, you said, if things were crumbling in Russia, government was God. There was no God, one true God. They didn't know about Jesus. And so was there more of a openness to anything spiritually with a lot of people searching for something because the government let them down? And what's different about that now, the environment there in Russia?
Well, as things got became more stable economically, and people found their way back to a materialistic view. Mm. So back in the 90s, when everything was just broken and scattered, people started looking for answers beyond materialistic worldview, just to look for some help from someone.
Right.
So, but in essence, a lot of people were still selfish, like they are everywhere, and they just wanted to patch the holes and to satisfy the hungers. And if they rejected the truth, they're all left with the lies, just like the Bible tells us. That's the tendency of every generation, it seems.
So how did you become a pastor then?
Our original pastor was there for 12 years. He came out of Downey. And then the Lord called him back to take over a church here in the States. So he said, "You are the man. Take it."
Whoa.
Well, there was some prayer. There was prayer and discussions before that. But in essence, this was given to me.
So, and Jay Siegert, how did you hear from Pasha then? And how long ago was this?
It was probably, 2019. So the short version is they had an apologetics conference prior to that, probably about 10 years prior with the Berean call, Dave Hunt.
Over there at his church.
Came over to Vladimir, Calvary Chapel of Vladimir, which is a few hours east of Moscow. So they had a conference. Well, they recontacted the Berean call, so they'd like another conference. Well, Dave Hunt had passed away. So the second command who rose up, Tom McMahon, was talking to Pasha. And when Tom got off the phone with Pasha, Tom called me and said, "You're going to Russia." I'm thinking, "No, I'm not going to Russia. I don't want to go to Russia. God doesn't need me in Russia." So I told Tom, I said, "Well, I'll pray about it. That's the Christian thing to do." Yeah. So I started praying, which is a big mistake.
It's not a mistake.
Not a mistake. Within seconds of praying, I sensed in my spirit, God says, "You're going to Russia." And so we ended up going to Russia to do an apologetics conference, and I was nervous. I was not fearful for my safety. I just don't like to be uncomfortable. And so it was a very different environment.
Yep.
But when I was there, I felt like not only am I supposed to be here, I need to come back to be in a communistic country to be able to share the gospel and to share with this church, which she did all the translating, which helped me because he's really good at English. And so I would say something, he would translate it to his church congregation, and it went really, really well. So that was 2019. We've kept in touch, and then he said he's coming to the States here and wanted to visit me. So he flew into O'Hare and came up to Waukesha to visit me. So we're spending a couple days together, and we've already got some plans to do some work together.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you're going to go back.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I will be nervous, but I'll do it.
So you're visiting a family? Are you speaking at churches while you're here?
Well, somewhat, yeah. My son lives in Montana.
Montana, okay.
So I'm going to visit him and then go see a couple churches.
So, let's talk about what we were sharing some emails back and forth on. The State of the Union, because we just had a big State of the Union address here in the United States at, President Trump gave. So what are things like in Russia when it comes to the government and the relationship or lack thereof with Christians and churches there? I mean, true biblical churches.
Churches are legal. It's not...
Which might surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, they're not persecuted in like the full sense of the word. And there's different regions. There's more Islamic areas, and you could do less things. And some central areas are okay. There's big cities where there's just a lot of churches, Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic. And even Calvary Chapel, there's 25 or 30 of us in Russia. Yeah, so we are not as free as we used to be, like in the 90s, when everything was free, like on every corner, in every church, every school, all theaters, even factories, halls, they were open for gospel, for ministry, for concerts. So it was a big explosion, a big wave that the gospel came on. A lot of ministers, a lot of churches, a lot of schools, Christian schools were started. So all kinds of work was going throughout the country. Radio, television, there was no internet at the time, but it was a lot. And I feel like my entire generation and people of my parents' generation, they were able to hear the gospel. So it was clearly presented by God's grace. God's people came, and there was enough witnesses for that season.
Okay.
So, and then everybody, I feel like everybody was making up their mind. And a lot of people return to their old tracks, not to politics, because it's not communist. It's a democracy of a sort. It's different than Western world, but in theory, it's the same. It's just a different approach, different heritage.
Yeah,
they come from a different angle, but they strive to do it like in the West for a season. Yeah, it takes godly bunch of people to to do things.
So we're going to take a brief pause, and when we come back, I want to just ask you about the spiritual maturity or hunger there, and have you observed enough about the church in America to make any comparisons? We'll be right back, friends, on Worldview Matters.
Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com.
So we're back in the studio, Jay Siegert, thestartingpointproject.com, and Pasha Baranov from Calvary Chapel, Vladimir. I'm getting the hang of that, aren't I? Before we got on the podcast, we were talking about Vladimir Putin. We say Vladimir, but it is Vladimir.
Vladimir.
Vladimir. Okay. You got to roll the R too at the end. Jay, try that.
Vladimir.
Vladimir.
Vladimir. No. I'll never get it right.
So, Jay, apologetics, that's your specialty, apologetics, creation. So you went over there, blessed the congregation, whoever was at that conference. Talk to us a little bit about that, maybe the feedback you got. Had they heard a lot of apologetics before you went? And obviously there was an interest or hunger for your message and what you had to share.
Sure. It was very encouraging, a little different because you're largely talking to an audience that doesn't speak English, which is understandable. So you don't have the same kind of feedback. But visually, you could tell that everyone was just really listening and interested and hungry. Which that was the biggest thing that I noticed, is the hunger, the level of hunger for this information and the encouragement that it brought them. Where, I get a lot of good feedback here in the U.S., but sometimes they take it for granted, like, whatever,
Another conference.
After you hear something, hey, where do you want to go for lunch? And they just go on with their lives.
Yeah.
Now, I do get better feedback as well. But in Russia and in Pasha's church, you could tell they were all really hungry to hear this. Each presentation, it meant a lot to them. They didn't take it for granted, and they were in a more challenging situation, so I think they appreciated it a little bit more.
So back to the hunger, that's what Jay observed when he went to your church. So have you made any observations about any comparisons with churches in Russia and the American church? Because we are kind of spoiled over here, especially with our religious freedoms and being founded, at least, as a Christian nation 250 years ago.
I think there's differences, but I cannot be objective on things. It just seems like there's so much more Christianity, so much more heritage from the previous generation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work, a lot of missions, a lot of support going throughout the world. So this cannot be taken or this cannot be ignored. So it's a wonderful part of God's kingdom. So European Christianity came here fleeing from the kings and persecution.
Yeah.
So it feels like their posterity, their children, are sending the debt back to Europe. So pay them back in the spiritual sense. I mean, this is how the gospel went around the world, starting in Jerusalem and to the ends of the world. And I guess it made so many circles. It's hard to monitor all of this by any particular group of nation, any church, but globally.
Yeah.
So I love it here. It's refreshing to be among the Christians here. I see enough sound and healthy, spiritually mature people.
Well, you go to some good churches.
I think I do. There's a short time.
Yeah, you're blessed. There are some church... Well, Pasha, there are some churches that you have to put air quotes around the word church because I don't know how they get away with teaching what they're teaching and doing what they're doing in America. But sadly, a lot of very watered down gospels that would not approach apologetics and talk about these serious creation, things like that. So, Jay, why do you think the need is so great? You go over to Russia, but I'm thinking we need that here. Go ahead and just share whatever's on your heart.
Sure. Big picture, in a short amount of time, is one of the biggest problems I see is Christianity can be pared down to two basic tenets. God exists and he created everything. And number two, the Bible is the inspired word of God. Those are the two basic underlining pillars of Christianity. Everything else is a subtopic of one of those things. But most Christians are not well positioned to answer those two basic questions. How do you know God exists? And how do you know the Bible is the inspired word of God? They tend to believe those things, but when confronted by a well-meaning skeptic asking an incredibly reasonable question, they start to fumble around. It's like, well, that's a red flag. If you're asking a Christian the most basic questions and they already don't do a good job of answering that, why would you listen to anything else they have to say? And that's with all these social issues that we're struggling with, it should never, ever, ever be our philosophy versus someone else's, because who are we that the whole world cares what we think? Mm-hmm. We should always say, hold on a second. Fascinating topic. Let me see what the Bible says about that.
What does God's word say?
If they have a problem with what we're sharing, the problem isn't with us. It's with what God's word says. But Christians are sometimes hesitant to do that because the question is going to come up, well, that's just the Bible stuff, you know, and that's just another religious book. There's a lot of other religious books. And the Christian, again, isn't well suited to say, well, hold on, it's not just another religious book. Yeah. It's actually the inspired word of God. And let me tell you how I know that.
Yes.
They can't go that direction, so they'll tend to back off of the Bible. Well, you lose your source of authority. You have no ultimate source of authority at that point if you're not grounding it in God's word.
We need to be able to answer, this is why the Bible is true.
True.
Right?
True.
And even there's some churches in our country that have strayed from inerrancy, and that happened, I don't know, 100 years ago. It started in different, you know, factions. But so... if you go back to Russia, how do you approach, like, would you go to the Calvary Chapel or somewhere else, or to do a conference?
Sure, we go right back to Pasha's church.
Yeah, we hope to make it bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah? We'll invite others.
We'll build the church bigger.
So do Calvary Chapels have a good reputation over there as more of the mature Bible-believing Christians who get Bible prophecy and things like that? And what are your thoughts on that?
I'm not actually sure. I know that here, again, there's a lot of different churches, and there are many, many really good churches around.
Yeah.
My experience, I've been in 59 Calvary Chapels now. And
wow.
I say they're cookie cutters, and usually that's a bad thing. Like, no, I mean it in a good way. Yeah. They're very similar, and they
doctrine
all
is important.
Are very serious about Scripture, word for word, going through Scripture that way, which is refreshing. And there are other churches that do that, but there are too many that don't. I'm not really sure. Over in Russia, I would guess all the Calvary Chapels are pretty consistent, but I'm not sure what other Christian churches are like over there that are not Calvary Chapel.
Well, we do have a reputation for biblical faithfulness, like faithfulness to the Scripture, exposition, and practice. So one of my friends said that we're like an injection, a shot in the arm to the rest of us evangelicals in Russia, because as we cross paths, most of them didn't hear the name, but once they start hearing it a few years ago, it's like, you're everywhere. So, and it's usually a good experience for them. So if we're talking about the Bible ministry, we're on good terms with anyone who loves God.
Yeah. One thing I thought about when you go over to Russia, do you talk about things like the Grand Canyon? Because here, everybody knows where it is and pretty much about it. But over there, they might not understand from an aspect of world history and what happened during the flood. And do you talk about that as well?
We did. I probably gave maybe six presentations over there, and one of them, the request one, was on the flood in general, because the flood was worldwide, which would
global.
Have been Russia as well. The Grand Canyon is something at least people, they know of, and so I was able to talk about the Grand Canyon and what happened there, but then say, this didn't just happen there. This happened all over the planet when talking about the different layers, and you could tie them in from the bottom layer at the Grand Canyon, the first sedimentary layer, the Tapete sandstone. You can tie that over into Jordan and Petra, where the buildings are carved into the rocks. It's the same sediments over there, so you can tie them in around the world. So I was able to talk about a worldwide flood by bringing up the topic of the Grand Canyon.
That's interesting.
There's a whole new generation of kids, people that need to be educated, because the school curriculum is about the same, even though there's a little bit religion mixed in. But
now, when you say religion, what does that include?
Official religions like Orthodox, Christian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox Church, and then
isn't that good?
Islam.
Isn't that based on the Russian Orthodox?
It's kind of like Catholic, just the Eastern branch of of that type of a very formal, very traditional church. And, so, and it's been in Russia for 1,000 years or more.
So in the school system there, then they not only teach, when you say religion, that includes everything, right? Islam, Buddhism, everything?
Depending on the region and the kids, I think they can choose which class they want to go to. So it's if it's one of the stans, Dagestan or Chechnya or Bashkortostan, Tatarstan, there's several Muslim republics. Hmm. So they, most of them probably choose Islamic class. Mm-hmm. And it's very nominal, just basic stuff. Even Judaism is presented in school.
Okay. It's just very interesting to hear.
Different.
And to learn more about, you know, and we had preconceptions and ideas on maybe what the climate is like spiritually over there and from the churches to the education system. And very interesting. So, Jay, we've got a minute and a half.
Sure.
And the pressure's on. I'm going to let you close it out with whatever thoughts you'd like to share. Pasha, it was great to meet you, and thank you for coming in. Enjoy
nice
the rest
you.
Of your time here in the States.
Yeah, thank you, David.
I would just encourage the audience not to be myopic and just think about yourself here in the United States, but realize this message that we're excited about is going on all over the world, including Russia, and we need to move away from the idea of the old Soviet Union and thinking that they're making sure there are no churches going on. It's very, very different today, but be praying for people like Pastor Pasha to be carrying out, you know, the preaching on the authority of God's word, just like we need it here, they need it there as well. All all the problems in the world around us can only be solved by turning back to Scripture, and Pasha's doing his job in Russia.
Praise God. It just reminds me of the global body of Christ. We have brothers and sisters around the world. You know, we try to remind people of that when we hear things about persecution, about Nigeria, what's happening with the underground church in Iran. Just think about Christians everywhere. So we have to get out of our American mindset and think about, from the spiritual perspective, the body of Christ all around the world. So it's exciting and challenging times at the same time. But brothers, thank you so much again for coming in.
Friends,
thank you so much for sharing the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.